Second Thessalonians, the book of Second Thessalonians, chapter number 2, and I want to read for your hearing verses 13 through 17. And I want to speak on the subject of the chosen ones, more specifically raising it in the form of a question: who are the chosen ones? The chosen ones. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning with verse number 13, down through verse number 17. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Please notice several outstanding statements and features of this passage. In verse number 13, notice he chose us. He chose us. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you. Not has just chosen us, but he has changed us unto belief of the truth. Thirdly, he called us. How does he call us? He calls us by the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And number four, he confirmed us. Stand fast and hold. But we're interested especially in that part of verse 13 that says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. A fellow by the name of Joseph or Josiah Condor, back in the 1800s, wrote a song that we sing in our church, a hymn that we sing in our church. The words of which are these: my Lord, I did not choose you, for that could never be. My heart would still refuse you had you not chosen me. And more recently, in the 1900s, a song, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Most amazing. Armenians sing it every Sunday and they never realize what they're singing. Pay attention to it. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Now that's not too offensive, is it? That's pretty good. Okay, nobody get too angry over that. But the second stanza, on that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Who are these chosen ones? The Greek word translated chosen, and Brother Phil labored on this Wednesday night, it means to elect. It's a synonym, to choose or to elect. It means to select. It means to choose. Thus, God has chosen you or elected you or selected you unto salvation. The Bible clearly teaches choosing and election. Now the Bible, is not a book placed at our disposal to eliminate what we don't like and to include what we do like. All the Bible is the verbally inspired Word of God, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for what? Doctrine. Among other things, but especially for doctrine. Elect, election, chosen. Those three words are used some 50 times in the New Testament alone. Now, the Bible doctrine of election is not only saturated with the Word of God, but in the eyes of the religious world, it is a despised doctrine. This is because it takes salvation out of the hands of sinners and places it into the hands of a sovereign God. And man is born a totally depraved sinner, and he doesn't like the idea of losing control. He likes to be the captain of his fate. He likes to be the master of his soul. He likes to be the one who calls the shots. If I want to be saved, I'll be saved. If I don't, it's my business. Well, it just doesn't work that way. The world hates the doctrine of election because it takes it out of the hands of the sinner and puts it into the hands of a sovereign God. Now, we do not have the time this morning to have you turn to all of these references, but you might want to jot them down and run some future study on them. Let me give you some of these examples. John chapter 15, verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Case closed. No exceptions. We can't argue with that. You have not chosen me. I'm the one that chose you. The disciples did not get together and decide to choose Christ. Christ is the one who called them unto himself that they might be where he was. John 15, verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Why does the world hate the Christian today? Because God hath chosen the Christian out from among the world. In Romans 9:11. For the children not yet being born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand not of works, but of him that calleth. Romans 11:5. Even so then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 11:7. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. Those who have sight, election has obtained that. Those who were left, they are left in blindness. Who's in charge of election? God Almighty, the sovereign God of the Bible, is in charge of that. In Romans 11:28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Pastor, what does that mean? Well, it means precisely this, that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. It means precisely what it says. In 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, not based on our knowledge, based on his foreknowledge. 1 Peter 5:13, the church that is at Babylon. Now, I've wanted to preach on that text. I'll get around to it maybe one of the... Did you know that there was a church in Babylon? The church that is in Babylon elected together with you. They had some of God's people there in Babylon. 2 John chapter 1, the elect or the elder unto the elect lady and her children. 2 John verse 13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. The saved are referred to as the elect. Believers are referred to as elect. Not Baptist, not Methodist, not Catholics, not Presbyterians, but believers are recognized as the elect of God. Matthew 24, verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Luke 18, verse 7. And God, shall he not avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? In Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Colossians 3, verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, bowels of mercies. 2 Peter 1:10, make your calling and election sure. That's our responsibility, to make our calling and our election sure. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Titus 1, 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Now, dear friends, those things are not in the Bible by accident. They're there by divine providence. Over and over again, our attention is called to the elect of God, to the selected ones of God, to the chosen ones of God. Who are these elected ones? Who are these chosen ones? In defining the doctrine of election, and I think there is some definition that is appreciated and needed in many, many cases when you study doctrinal subjects in the Bible. What is election? What is election? The word means to choose out from. If I were to go to Baskin-Robbins ice cream parlor, and I was told you can have one flavor, you go in and make your choice. Well, if I choose any of their display, I'm going to leave out all the rest of them. You do know that, don't you? If I can only choose one, when I make my choice of that one, it's not that they have 32 other flavors. It doesn't matter because the choice has been made. Point being is when an election takes place, some are taken and some are left. Not everybody's brought in because of the very nature of the word election. It means to single out from among others. It means to select some and leave others behind. In an election year, we often go to the polls to elect the president and other officials. We make our choice. And when you make your choice, you also leave out the others who are running for the same office. You need to see that. Because there are some who believe and try to explain the doctrine of election that God just chose everybody. The scripture does not teach that. The word itself does not inculcate that. I appreciate so much what Lawrence Justice said when he said, quote, God has made a choice from among all men as to whom he will save. Because of total depravity, had not God elected some to be saved and sent his son to die for them at Calvary, then none would ever be saved. If God were to stand idly by and wait for sinners to come to Him, no one would ever come to Him. The choice is the Lord's. Now, an interesting feature about election, it is unconditional. It is unconditional. This simply means that God was not motivated to save some sinners because of what goodness and ability He saw within them. And you'd be amazed at that explanation being given by men of the cloth even today. They say, well, God looked down before man ever came along and He knew what the talents of this person would be and He knew what this person could contribute to the kingdom of God and He knew this sorry good-for-nothing thing. He wasn't going to amount to anything anyway, so don't bother with Him. I'll just pick the good ones. Nothing could be further from the truth than such reasoning as that. Not only is the human race guilty before God, but the human race is spiritually dead before God. There's nothing in the sinner to recommend him to God. The Bible says in Romans 2:11, there's no respect of persons with God. That simply means that when God makes a choice and God makes a selection, He does not take of anything that you could contribute to it, and it would determine what His election and choice is going to be. In the book of Romans, chapter number 9, verses 10 through 15, the scripture seems to make this very clear. And not only this, but when Rebekah, that's the wife of Isaac, one of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now, Rebekah's going to have children, and Isaac's the daddy. And there may be a little startling to take place when she finds out she's going to have twins. Not just a single baby, but she's going to have two of them. They're called the children in verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, well, they couldn't have if they'd never been born. They haven't done any good or evil. But that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, dear friends, that means exactly what it says. Jacob have I loved. When did he love Jacob? Before he was ever born. Before he was ever born. When did God hate Esau? Before he was ever born. He did not wait until they were born and he viewed their lives and thought, well, this one has a little bit more advantage in life than that one does. Therefore, I'm going to go with this one. God doesn't choose with a blindfold on. Before they were ever born, God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Now the Arminian will invariably offer you this explanation. Well, that word hate just doesn't mean hate. It means to love less. I'm here to tell you, even if it did mean to love less, God made a choice. God made a choice. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. There's a passage in Acts chapter 13, verse 48, that some wish was not in the Bible. This is what it says. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What it does not say is this, as many as believed were ordained to eternal life. You get the cart before the horse that way. Ordained is the cause and belief is the result. And if there is no cause, there won't be any result. So anytime a sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because he's been ordained by God and chosen by God before he was ever born. You say, well, you know what? I don't think that's fair. God's not going to be too bothered with what you think. He was doing just fine before you came along. And my dear friend, when you're a bunch of pollen out in the cow pasture, he'll still be doing fine and he'll still be God. Don't you ever develop your theology by trying to trim God down so you can be a little bit bigger than he is. He's God, and everything he does is right, whether we understand it or not. And sometimes, even when we disagree with it, he's still God. What the doctrine of election is not. What it is not. It does not mean that God has elected and chosen all men to be saved. If that were true, all men would be saved, or else God would be terribly frustrated. It does not mean that. It could not be an election if he chose everybody. There's no choice in it. If everybody's in it, there's no choice involved in it. The Bible says in Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. The Lord Jesus said in John 17:9, I pray not for the world. Did you know that? Christ said, I didn't pray for the world. I prayed for them that thou hast given me. Dear ones, God gave the elected ones to the Son before they were ever born. And the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for those elected ones. And so we have here, I pray not for the world, everybody in the world, but for those whom thou hast given me. Romans 11:7, Israel hath not obtained that which seeketh for. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. I was studying on that very section this last week, and it dawned on me, my dear friends, that Noah and his family were the only ones chosen to be in the ark. Noah and Mrs. Noah and their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, a total of eight people. Did you know God chose those eight to be in the ark? Has it ever occurred to you how many he did not choose? They were not in the ark. And the whole world perished in water, the water of God's judgment, except Noah and his family, who were chosen in him. Do you see that? The rest of the world was left behind. In John 13:18, the Lord Jesus said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. I know whom I have chosen. It does not mean that God is trying to save the whole world. Acts chapter 15:14, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people, not all people, but to take out of them a people for his name. God's not in the business of trying to save the whole world. There are many scriptures that I could give you to support that. But one of the best that I know of is in Acts chapter 16:6-8. Acts 16:6-8. Paul, on his missionary journeys, started to go in some directions and the Holy Spirit would not let him go and directed him in other directions. Look at verse 6. When they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now watch this strong language. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the Word of God in Asia. Did you know what? You cannot be saved apart from the preaching of the Word of God. And did you know when the Holy Spirit said, don't go to Asia, that simply means that God's not trying to save the people in Asia in this particular context. There were other people he was reaching out to, not the people of Asia. After that, they were come to Mysia. They started to go into Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit suffered them not. Those people won't hear the gospel in this given context. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. That's where God wanted him to be. And from Troas, he would cross the Aegean Sea and go over into Europe and meet the first European converts like the Philippian jailer and others of that caliber. So what am I saying? It does not mean that God is trying to save everybody in the world. Let me make a statement to you, church. I've studied the Bible for many, many years. I do not claim to have a complete answer for every verse of Scripture, and there are many things in the Bible I really can't explain. As a matter of fact, this never happens to you, but every once in a while, I'll just open my Bible and I'll read a verse. It looks like somebody put it in last night. I mean, it's been there all along. I don't know how I missed it. I just didn't read it. But what I'm saying to you, my dear friends, it doesn't mean that God's trying to save the whole world. If God were trying to do that, how frustrated he would be. How absolutely frustrated he would be. Now let's quickly analyze the text. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now let's forever settle something. Who does the choosing? God hath chosen you. You don't choose God. God chooses you. God chooses me. Does the Scripture teach it? If it didn't, I wouldn't be preaching it. In Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Now listen to this, church. If you've never seen this verse before, it'll put you on shouting ground. Blessed is the man whom God choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Not only does he choose us, but he motivates us and causes us to look to him and to come to him. Mark 13:20. Except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Again, John 15:16, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him. And 2 Timothy 2:5, one of my favorites. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I never will forget, as a child, we'd have these big pictures pasted on the side of commercial buildings. It was a picture of Uncle Sam, and he had this top hat on, and he had the striped clothing on. He had the starry vest on. You knew it was Uncle Sam, and he had that finger pointing out, and it said, Uncle Sam wants you. He wants you. And the way you get into the army is you volunteer. And for a long time I preached that passage that way. You're a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and a man's a good soldier because he volunteered for the Lord. That ain't what it says. Now see, you slept through it, and you didn't catch it when it was plainly stated. Let me give it to you again. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Hey, by the way, have you ever heard of the draft? That's how God saves sinners. He drafts them. He chooses them. He selects them. I saw a ballot. My goodness. I should have this produced and give you a copy of it. You won't believe it otherwise. I call it an Arminian election ballot on how to be elected and saved. This was in a Baptist church. They had these things printed up so the members could see how God's election works. And I'm looking at it now. I've got a picture of it right here looking at it. It says important election. And it's got a picture of the White House in Washington. Important election. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And down below that it says, first read the other side for instructions on how to vote. Okay? The next statement says, make your decision today. In the first slot, it says, God has voted. Yes. In the second slot, it says, Satan has voted. No for you. So God said, yes, you're going to be saved. And the devil said, no, you're not going to be saved. And the third slot is a tie. Your vote must decide the issue. Whether God's going to save you or the devil's going to damn you. It's all up to you. You're in the voting business. Now, isn't that the most profound thing you've ever heard in all of your life? Several things wrong with it. First of all, this election took place before the sinner was born. He didn't get to vote. Huh? Second of all, Satan was cast out of heaven and he lost his vote when God cast him out. When did God make this choice? From the beginning. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Ephesians 1:4 says, before the foundation of the world. You understand that, Brother Cozart? No, I don't. Do you believe that? With all of my heart. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus. When did we get this grace? Before the world began. Unquote. Revelation 13:8, though it's speaking of the Antichrist, it says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's the most baffling thing to the finite mind. Before there was a heaven, I can't go back that far, can you? Before there was a heaven, before there ever was an earth, before there was a flutter of angel wings, before there was ever a human sound, before there was ever the first drop of rain, before the wind ever blew the first time, before there was any created thing, when Almighty God was alone in His glory, He chose a people unto Himself out of His love and sovereign grace. That's when it happened. And in time, it came to pass for you and you and you. And if we were to give the time this morning, several of you could stand and say, Brother Cozart, I'll tell you when the Lord saved me. I'll tell you when the Lord became real to me. That's okay. I understand that type of talk. But always remember this. It's because He did something first. Or you wouldn't be a Christian today. You could not be saved today. Who were those chosen? God hath chosen you. God hath chosen you. Not only is this directed to members of the church at Thessalonica, but to all the people of God for all time. This is not an election of things, but of individuals. God hath chosen you. Paul says in Romans 16:13, salute Rufus. That's a good name for a baby, isn't it? Rufus. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. That's how they knew him. He is one of God's elect. If you're a believer, you can put your name there. Salute Dan. He's chosen in the Lord. Salute Randy. He's chosen in the Lord. Salute Chuck. He's chosen in the Lord. Salute Brother Roger. He's chosen in the Lord. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That simply means that nobody can bring any charge against God's elect because our sins have been forgiven completely by the Lord Jesus Christ, the elect of God. To what were they chosen? That's important. God hath chosen you to salvation. God hath chosen you to salvation. Election and salvation are not the same thing. One can be elected and yet not yet have experienced salvation. We are elected in eternity, but we are saved in time. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Election is never unto damnation. God does not elect people to be damned. Let me say it again. God does not elect people to be damned. God doesn't have to do anything. We're already damned. Is not that what John 3:18 says? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I must bring this to a close. How can a person know whether or not that he's one of God's chosen? How can we know whether we are one of God's chosen? 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How do we know it? It comes through belief of the truth. God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now you mark it down. An old boy that doesn't believe the truth and doesn't believe the Bible, it's quite obvious as of that point in time, he's not one of God's elect, because God's elect will believe the truth. God's chosen will believe the truth. It is through the belief of the truth. And let me close with John 6:37, a verse that all of us know, perhaps, and have quoted before. Quote all of it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Did not say we might come to him. Did not say if we get to maybe exercise our free will, we might decide to, we may not decide to. No. All that the Father gives me, they're going to come to me. You need to read what Mr. Spurgeon had to say on that text. He said, "Ah, my dear sinner, you will come. You will come walking to him. If you can't walk, you'll come running to him. If you can't run, you'll come crawling to him. You'll get there any way you can. If you belong to him, you'll come to him. You'll come to him." It's not that sinner who stands in a church service holding onto the back of a bench until his knuckles are white and he's not quite decided whether he's going to let God save him or not. No, my dear friends, if God gave you to Jesus Christ, you will come to him. And if you don't come to him, you were never given to him of the Father. That's how you can know you've been elect. That's how you can know you've been chosen. If election were universal, salvation would be universal, but is not. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Well, Brother Cousard, I tell you what, I'd come to the Lord, but I just don't know whether I'm elect or not. Don't bother yourself with election. You bother yourself with repentance. God wants you to come to him. God demands that you come to him. You come to him. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll be surprising how this beautiful doctrine of election gets even more beautiful when you come to Christ. When you come to Christ. So I'm so grateful today that I have good news that God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The answer to the question, who are the chosen ones? Those who have trusted Christ or will before the end time. They have not all yet trusted Him. People are still being saved and will continue to be saved until the Lord comes back. But every one of them will be saved because God was pleased to choose them before the foundation of the world. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Let me give you something sober to think about, and then we'll sing. Why you? Why you? Why you? And He passed your brother by. He passed your mom and your daddy by. What'd God come picking on you for? Why did He come and select you? He could just as easily have passed by you as He passed by anybody else. But He didn't pass you by. Why you? I don't know. But throughout eternity, I want to thank Him for it. I'm so glad I belong to Him because of His choice, not mine. And I want to serve Him, and I know you do too. Let's stand, please, for prayer.